Making Chicken Salad this week is brought to you by Three Count Pro Wrestling Academy. Are you in Brisbane and thought about learning to be a wrestler? Well, here's your chance. Three Count Pro Wrestling Academy are based out of Beenleigh in Queensland, and they're committed to teaching the best, safest way to learn the art of professional wrestling. Hit up their Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or email admin@threecountfitness.com now to register your interest, and we thank them so much for supporting the show.
Here I was blaming AEW for feeding you chicken shit, knowing you mindless millennials would be eating it up as if it were chicken salad, when it's really been your fault all along.
Make chicken salad out of chicken shit. People is as people does, that's all there is to it. Put a square peg in a round hole, just never seems to fit. And you can't make chicken salad out of chicken shit.
Welcome to Making Chicken Salad, the podcast where we talk all things going on in wrestling around the world. I am the green dingo of Aussie podcasting, Lachlan Albert, and I am joined by yet another wrestle dad, Todd Eastman. Todd, how you doing, mate?
I'm good, mate. How are you? You're in a different area tonight, mate.
Yeah, I've kindly been offered the studio here at Vault Games for the night, where I do a little bit of streaming stuff, twitch.tv/VaultGamesLive, for anyone interested in any board game, tabletop stuff. You can catch me there. But yeah, just got finished doing some stuff, and we wanted to jump straight into talking about some wrestling tonight. So I thought, no point going home. Let's get straight into it, because today there was a huge event going on down in Melbourne. MCW versus PWA Worlds Collide, a 5-match series to determine who is coming out on top between the two biggest promotions in Australia right now. What an exciting event. Such a cool idea to have these two massive promotions working together. We saw the start of it. You know, we talked about the last PWA show on the regular Making Chicken Salad episode that week, and there was an incredible 6-man tag match there to hype for this event. So let's jump in and let's review the card top to bottom. This isn't going to be a normal Making Chicken Salad episode. This is one of those things we're doing. We also, if you missed it, you can check out the review we did for Reawakening 24 EPW, which we did last week. There's just so much good Aussie wrestling going on that we want to be across it. So let's jump in for Worlds Collide. The first match, Slex and Lyrebird Lucci. This is a classic big man versus technical wrestler going on here. The first match of 5 matches, best of 5, to see who came out on top, MCW or PWA. What did you think of this as an opener, Todd?
I thought it was a really good opener. I don't think anyone really expected Lyrebird to get over on that match. So it was like, it was probably a good opening for that crowd, because the crowd were up because an MCW guy had won. But no, it was a good open. Like I said, I've said before, like Lyrebird Lucci is one of those guys that is a future of Australian wrestling. So it was a good platform for him to be able to show that he's got potential. He's here, if that makes sense. So yeah, no, I enjoyed totally. It. So one thing I will say, like, and we'll go on as we talk about this show, a lot of these matches either were quick or felt really quick. They didn't feel like your normal, like a length match that you would see in an MCW or a PWA.
No, it wasn't. And you can see, like, I'm looking at the number of matches on the card here. There's about 8 or 9 segments, I would say, which, again, pretty tight. You know, we talked about EPW, and that was a similar number of segments, but I believe this was even shorter than Reawakening 20, which feels like you're getting a lot of content, you know, pushed into that small amount of time, which, you know, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. I think it's pretty cool to be able to open up at, and, you know, for us, it started at 1 PM and, you know, was over by 4 PM.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't
that's
complain
exactly
about
right.
That, you know, an easy watch. It definitely did feel like a quick match. And I think that you're absolutely right. Slex versus Lyrebird as an opener is perfect, because obviously it's an MCW home crowd. So you want to get them hot with an MCW win. No one's really expecting Lucci to come out on top of Slex. But he does put up a good challenge. He does show that he's got a lot of potential. I think that there were a couple of spots that maybe could have been a little bit tighter, But on the other hand, we're talking about two guys who've never locked up before, right? Yeah. So when you've got that, those fresh combinations, and that's the whole way through this card, is a lot of people have never wrestled each other before. There's going to be those times where the timing's a little bit off, and that is
what I think. Are you, because for me, the spot that I'm thinking of when you say that is the jacket spot. I felt like it went for a little bit long halfway through the match.
There was one I noticed, and it's Lucci went face first into the corner, and he was going for the usual, you know, go over as Slex went under, and he didn't kind of get the full extension on it, and he looked like he dropped the leg across Slex's neck, which, look, I would love to see that as an offensive move, you mm-hmm. know, rather than going all the way over when you let someone run under you, just dropping on top of them to get a bit of impact. So I actually thought it looked good, but it didn't look like
AJ Styles. I think AJ Styles does that. So I don't know. Maybe it was. I'm pretty sure I've seen him do that.
And again, like, it might have just been that it looked like a miss to me when it was getting what he wanted. It just wasn't quite tight enough, but not sure. So moving on from there, we actually went into a promo. Jimmy Townsend came out on his gap year to, you know, show a bit of disrespect to the MCW crowd. It was pretty clear this whole event that PWA were playing the heels here. They're on MCW home turf. That makes MCW the faces no matter what. PWA's the heels no matter what. So Jimmy, who's someone who is used to getting a lot of cheers, is the bad guy here. Calls out, you know, all the trainees and notices that Cracker Jack is sitting there in the crowd. Calls out Cracker Jack. Cracker Jack delivers a classic Crackerjack yelly promo that says, "I'm not going to wrestle you. My brother Gore is." And Gore comes out looking like a disgusting beast, as he always does. We get a stapler to the hand from Crackerjack while the ref is distracted to give Gore that extra little bit of push over the edge to get the win. And then Crackerjack goes to shake Townsend's hand after the match, but just delivers a staple to the nuts right at the end there. Look, I've seen Crackerjack promos before, and I think this was a Crackerjack promo. Obviously, it was good. It's Crackerjack cutting a promo. He's been doing it a long time. Gore looked good in the ring. Gore is huge. He's strong. Loved seeing him carry the ref to the ring by the belt. That was a fantastic little touch that made Gore look like a true beast. You know, I don't like Jimmy Townsend being a guy who seems to get the brunt of the attack here. But at the same time, like, there's, you know, there's worse guys to take a beating. He's not, you know, someone who needs to be untouched. So I think this, you know, maybe not my cup of tea, but wasn't bad at all. What did you reckon?
I don't know if it was for you, if it was the same for you, but I had a real trouble with, like, audio issues when it came to the in-ring promos and that. I couldn't really hear a lot of the stuff that Jimmy was saying on the mic. Like, you can make out bits and pieces, but not enough to sort of hook me in. Crackers, because he yells, I think that maybe helped with the audio because it was picked up on other mics. But for the guys that were just using that in-ring mic, it seemed like it was just I couldn't understand it, to be honest with you. It felt like they were talking into their hand.
I had that issue, and I also had an issue any time that there was a promo on screen playing.
Yeah.
So that's something that's going to come up. We'll talk about after the next match. Caught none of it, right?
It was even like in the VO open. I wonder
if this is something that's going to get fixed, like when, because we were watching it live, maybe they'll do, you know, an updated version with some improved audio. Fingers crossed. But yeah, it was a shame not to be able to hear some of that stuff.
Aside from that, it was sort of just like it was something that got the crowd up again, and it was something to move forward the story about Crackers being having to go back and be a student again, and they had to do that because they can't follow through with that anymore properly because Loverboy's left MC Dub, so they can't really, so they've got to sort of take another tact with it. So obviously this is just a way to start moving it off, and it was good that Gore came out bringing back Edwin, because Edwin hadn't been around for a while, and it was good to see. Edwin is one of the best referees in the country, so it was good to see him back again on the show.
Edwin, an absolute superstar ref the whole way through the show. I've quite enjoyed, you know, seeing the auxiliary staff getting returned to these shows. People like Edwin, people like Diego at PWA. It's great when someone who's not a wrestler gets shown off at one of these shows. So really love seeing that. After this, we had a tag match that was way too short for my liking because I could watch these two teams all day. This was the Natural Classics versus the Velocities, not the Velocities that we see all the time. This was Paris Da Silva and Matt Diamond. Normally it'd be Paris Da Silva and Jude the Dude London, but instead we've swapped out for another member of Speed Force, so Paris and Diamond here, up against Stevie and Tom Philippe, who are, I can't say nice enough things about what great, great teams. Velocities are pure speed. Natural Classics are crisp, clean perfection. There's not much more you can ask for here other than longer match. So in this one, the Velocities get the win, which puts PWA at 1 point so that we're even money. Now, technically, if you're looking at every match on the card, you add in Gore beating Jimmy Townsend kind of puts the home team up a little bit, which I think is clever, while keeping the scores even. What did you think of the tag match?
I think you nailed it on the head. It was too quick. I wanted to see more of it. I suppose that's a good thing because it left you wanting more somewhat, because this whole show, by the end of this show, you were like, well, they've got to do another show now, because it was just the way they left it. Like, they have to do another show now. So I guess not giving everyone everything in these matches through the show led to that being over. So maybe the next time, if it's in Sydney, the Natural Classics come down and face Jude and Paris as a full thing, and they do the full blow-off match that they're capable of doing. But like we said earlier, like a lot of these ones were just really quick matches. Like, it was like, oh, geez, that's over already? Holy Moses.
Yeah, definitely. And I think this is one of those matches that, like, maybe was longer than it felt, because that seems to be true of, you know, every Velocities match that I watch and every Natural Classics match I watch, is because, like, those guys are just so watchable. Natural Classics, I've spoken about the Velocities on Making Chicken Salad a few times, about how watching their matches, the time just blinks by. Natural Classics are the same. I actually saw them against the Lucha Brothers in Melbourne a few years back, and the Natural Classics are a world-class team. They could be on one of those big shows tomorrow and no one would bat an eyelid. They are
perfect. Well, both those teams could be. Matt Diamond's been so amazingly underrated all these years because he took time off. And then, like, when people talk about the Velocities, usually they just think of Jude and Paris. They don't so much think of Matt Diamond. But Matt Diamond is doing amazing things in Nui Pro as the big heel middleweight champion there. And, he doesn't get talked about enough how good that guy is.
I feel like Nui Pro is a really underrepresented promotion as well. You know, we talked on the PWA show about the babes being overshadowed by Maddie Wahlberg when maybe it shouldn't be. Someone that I have seen a lot of that I adore is Headhunter Rigg, who I think spends a lot of time in UE Pro, who doesn't get a lot of, vision outside of there, but puts on incredible matches. That's a place to watch, I reckon.
Mm-hmm. That's something where, like, now that we've started doing this type of show, we can do stuff like reviews of, like, the Rumble show in Nui, because that's one of their big shows. I think they've got Brawl from City Hall 2 coming up soon. So that might be something that we can get onto and watch and review that, to really try and help them get the word out about their shows.
So I will give a quick plug while we keep moving on. If you're one of those people who has a show in your head that's coming up, there's something in Australian wrestling that is watchable and you think, man, I would love to hear their thoughts on that, let us know on the socials. At WrestleRadio AU on Twitter, on Instagram, WrestleRadio Australia on Facebook. Get on there. Let us know what you think about the Aussie wrestling going on. Tell us what you would like to see us cover. We'd love to hear all of that fan feedback, and we want to talk about more wrestling. I know you and I always want to talk more wrestling, Todd. And a match that's come out of this tag match between Velocities and Natural Classics that I am just frothing at the mouth over is after the Velocities came out victorious on this one, a challenge comes on the screen from Aussie Open, from the UK, holding those PWA tag belts, saying they'll come back and defend them on the condition that if Paris De Silva and Jude London can't get it done, they don't team anymore. Got the shivers. The last time those two teams matched up, it was magic. I cannot wait to see it again. What more can you say? Two of the best teams in the world. It's that simple.
They are actually back in the country, so we don't have to worry about maybe they can't get back in. They are actually back in the country now. Well, I know at least Davis is back. So that's half of the equation. So that
half
match,
of them are here.
Yeah, that match will more than likely go ahead unless some other thing happens to us, and who knows, the aliens could land by the, because we've had everything else over the last couple of years. So, but yeah, again, that was another thing where you couldn't really hear a lot of what they were saying, but luckily the commentary team sort of spelled out what was going on.
And again, it happened in that PWA show. We got to shout it out here. PWA commentary team, this time with the help of, and I cannot remember the name of the MCW commentator who was in there with them, but
it was Simon.
Fantastic work. Simon from MCW commentating there. Fantastic commentary work. It was like fun and engaging while not being entirely focused on the match, calling it move for move, but at the same time letting us know the big moves that are happening. It's one of the things that I keep noticing more and more is how good not just the wrestling in Australia is, but everything in Australian wrestling is. The ring announcing, the commentary, the refereeing, you know, the, you know, we talk about PWA's video all the time with Jax Jordan working those promos, you know. Australia
and
really
Ben
does have one of the best wrestling scenes in the world.
And Ben, give Ben
and
some
Ben
props as well.
Yep. We won't give it just to Jax, but yeah, like that, there's some amazing stuff going on around the country, not just in the in terms of in-ring product. After this, we had another non-PWA versus MCW match that did involve both PWA and MCW talent. This was the Ballroom Blitz for the vacant MCW Women's Championship. So this was essentially a Rumble-style entry match. So every 60 seconds, a new woman had entered the match. Eliminations by over the top rope, both feet hit the floor, or pinfall or submission, with the winner becoming the new MCW Women's Champion. So the opening two were Skylar and Jessica Troy, who really has to be the standout of this match. You know what I mean?
Actually, when you look at
the influencer gimmick coming out and cutting a promo is great, but Jessica Troy made this match work.
Yeah. When you looked at it, because you said it was the first like non-PWA, WCW, MCW sort of thing, I look at this thing and you've got PWA, you've got MCW, Wrestle Rampage, Riot City Wrestling, PCW, all represented in this Blitz match. So that just shows you that there's a really strong like female roster going on around the country now.
So let's go through the entrance in order. We had, after Skylar and Troy, was Cherry Stevens, then Aisha, then Chanel Phoenix, then Kingsley, then Lily Blaze, and finally Delta Brady. This was, again, we said Troy was the standout here. We had her coming in at number one, couple of eliminations straight off as a new entrant would come in. Jess Troy had eliminated the previous one. Then we had the ring fill up a little bit, and then Delta came in and cleared house. So it was just Troy and Delta at the end there, with Jess Troy taking it out. Delta looked incredible. Unfortunately, there was a bit of a wardrobe malfunction early on, which made it hard for her to, you know, purely show off the wrestling talent because you don't want to, you know, have some other disaster go on. Did an incredible job of managing to still wrestle with that happening basically immediately. So big props to Delta. And I tell you what, you know, X factor, absolute X factor on Delta. She is, and I was talking to some people yesterday about her as well. Like, she just seems like the future of women's wrestling in Australia.
Well, she's very much in the vein of Jess Troy, where you can see her very easily doing the intergender matches and it not really take away from anything. Like there's a lot of intergender matches around, and it's like good that we're doing them. I'm nothing against them, but there's a lot of stuff that you can't do so much, like believably some of the girls there, because of their size and their height, that they can believably do against some of the bigger guys in a company. Whereas you look at Delta, and you can buy Delta doing that. You can buy Delta manhandling a dude. With Jess, it's a totally different thing because she's so technically good, you can buy her doing anything to anybody. So yeah. Those two things. Like I think like one of my notes was at the start was where did I write it here? Sorry, I'm just going through my notes.
You're all good, mate.
It almost seems unfair that Troy is in this match because of just how good she is at the start. Like you could tell that she was in this thing to like look after everybody in this match.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And that's, yeah. Absolute veteran, knows what she's doing every step of the way. We've said it before, we'll say it again. She is one of the best in the country, regardless of any factor. You look at every wrestler from every state, every gender, every age we've got, Jessica Troy is near the top of the list. Full stop.
And
is incredible.
It was a really good finishing sequence too to this battle royal with the two of them. And if you didn't come away from this wanting to see those two again in a match.
Oh, yeah.
Like that was a perfect advertisement to say, this is a match that's coming up. And here's a little sampler for you. So this is what's going to happen, say, maybe in January. So get your tickets because these two are going to have an actual match.
And let's just point out again, how long has Delta been doing this now?
Maybe 2 years, nearly 2 years, if that.
Ridiculous. Absolutely yeah. Ridiculous. No right to be as good as she is.
So that made Jessica Troy the new MCW Women's Champion.
Yeah, so interesting to see someone from Sydney being the champion in Melbourne. Not that we haven't seen it before, but especially interesting seeing the final two competitors not be Melbourne natives. Delta from RCW, is that correct?
Yep.
And Jess from PWA there. So that I thought that was a really interesting note there. After that, a big match, we had Wrestle Dad versus the Young Boy, the Intercommonwealth Championship being defended by Rocky Monero against Royce Chambers. You and I had a quick chat before we started recording, and wow, this went by in a flash, didn't it? All of a sudden, Royce Chambers is your new Intercommonwealth Champion.
It was like, in a lot of ways, it was very well done because I was watching it and I'm just like, I just started to settle in to it. I'm like, oh, okay, this is going to be a thing. Let's just settle in. Oh, shit, it's over. Do you know what I mean? That's very much like, and I guess that's exactly what they wanted. That was the idea of it, to make you think that we're going to go a while here, guys, settle in, and then, you know, go.
Yeah, no. Which I really like as a style of match at this point in the card, to make people remember, oh, a match can just end. Like I know that we said earlier that a lot of these matches did go quickly, but I feel like when I'm watching a wrestling match, I don't want to be able to get comfortable until the finishing sequence starts, because mm-hmm. that means that it's gotten predictable, right?
Yeah.
If we're watching a match and I go, oh, I don't have to worry about it ending for another 10 minutes, I don't really have to pay attention, then I'm not buying into what you're doing and there's people wasting their time in the ring, frankly.
That's a very good point.
When you have a match like this and Royce out of nowhere wins, then suddenly for the rest of the card, I have to watch intently. I have to be ready for any pin to be the three, because it can be. So I think that a match like this is really good, especially when it's for, you know, the Intercommonwealth Championship, which is quite a prestigious title, you know?
Yeah, I'd sent Rocky a message after it going, you really earned your money on that one, didn't you, mate? And he goes, I don't get paid by the hour.
And, you know, I mean, I'm a big fan of Rocky Monero. I've seen him only a couple of times, but every time I've seen him, he has blown it out of the water with how much of a pro he is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he is a consummate
professional. Every inch of that place. And Royce is Royce is the future. That kid, you know, we saw him go over to DDT Pro in Japan not that long ago and show what he's made of. And man, that kid can go. Yep.
You're right. Okay. Yes, he can.
What more is there to say? That kid can go.
Next up, there was a match that was pretty much, if the main event was the best match on the card, which it's supposed to be, I think this next match was like 1A. Because Jack Bonzo and Mitch Waterman was a really good match.
Yeah, and it was also one of the matches that got the most time on the card. I think that Waterman in MCW is really making a name for himself now. He was one of the Brat Pack, and now Mitchie is doing things. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, he's that guy at the moment. Like, they positioned Royce as the Intercommonwealth guy. Mitch is the guy that they see as the next, like, champion guy. Like, he's won the ballroom brawl. He's got that shot coming up. So this is really sort of like something that they're trying to build him up as being someone big, which made it sort of surprising that he lost this match. But still, when you're losing to Jack Bonzo, it's not exactly a career hurter, if that makes sense, especially in the way that he lost it.
And Bonza's one of the most established people in the Australian wrestling world. You know what I mean? Like someone who's done all that is to be done in PWA, one of the biggest promotions in the company, has gone around the country making his name. And then on top of that, had assistance from the niece to secure the match. You know what I mean?
The thing is too, that they'd sort of set this up the month before at the PWA show, where they did that backstage promo of Kingsley and Mitch catching up and then Jack jumping in and saying, "Oh, don't talk to him, get away from my niece," sort of thing. The only thing that took away from this match slightly is that I think the actual interference didn't look that good.
I know, like, what you mean.
She didn't get a hell of a lot of purchase on the back of his head to bounce him off that rope.
Who didn't watch it, what happened through the match was Kingsley came out with Bonza, but throughout the match, you know, started talking to Waterman and, you know, was getting friendly with Waterman, and Jack was trying to split him up and
telling Bonza not to hit it so hard and all of that sort of deal.
And then towards the end, she gets up on the apron. He goes over to her and she grabs the back of the head and does the bounce slingshot off the top of the rope.
She pretends like she's going to hand him the cup of tea to hit Bonza, and instead like does a double switch with the head. But like I said, she didn't really get a hell of a lot of grip on the head. So it didn't, to me, I was just like, oh, God, oh. You know what I mean? It was that sort of thing. Like it was effective, but it could have looked a hell of a lot better, put it that way.
It could have. Kingsley's, you know, not in a negative way, Kingsley's biggest strength has never been her ring work. It's been that incredible character. She is so fun to watch, so entertaining in her storytelling. I think that there's times when I do wish Kingsley was just a little more crisp in what she does. I think that she's shown massive improvement over the last couple of years, especially. But there's still those moments where, yeah, I would like to have seen her really get that head and bring it down. But no, this was a really good match. It was really character driven without, you know, losing the intensity of the in-ring product.
Yeah. I loved the match. I really, it was one of those, is like, okay, we're back on, like, in my head, I'm like, all right, we're back on track now. This is a longer match. There's a bit of more of what I'm used to seeing from an MCW or PWA sort of a show. This is where we're on a good thing here. Let's go. Sort of thing.
Absolutely. So while we're on that good thing, we are going to take an incredibly quick break. We'll be back to talk about the last two matches on this card very quickly. Before we go, make sure you do head on over to Facebook and like Wrestle Radio Australia. Go on over to Twitter and Instagram and follow at Wrestle Radio AU and give us your feedback. Tell us what you want to hear from us, what you want to see, what you think about the wrestling that's going on in the world right now. We'll be right back.
Here's the Bro Day pod. Like, this comes from the whole statement where you were like, chicks hate being attracted to guys.
Bro, they do, man. They are.
Chicks and hate the fact that they're attracted to guys.
And we make it so easy. Like, just be there. And we're like,
oh, like, are you, okay.
Yeah, like, just exist. And then we're like, oi.
I like jigs.
Bro, yeah.
Jigs, bro.
Jigs are so hot, bro.
I swear to God, bro.
So, all of this is just chicks just tail-ending dudes, man. All
right, let's go. Just, all right.
Oh, sorry, the only disclaimer is the last one, not done.
Okay.
But the tweet is so brutal.
All right. So, wait, what do you mean? The last one you've not... Me. Oh, okay, you've not done it.
I've not done I understand. But it's brutal.
Okay. Let's go.
So this is all just chicks talking about icks that guys do.
Perfect.
Right?
Perfect.
Number one. Holding an umbrella is enough to give me the ick, but if that umbrella turns inside out, I'm never seeing me again.
Bro, again, like, what do you want us to do? The structural integrity of the umbrella is not on us. Are you joking me? And holding an umbrella. Are you insane? Holding an umbrella for holding one.
The fact that she was like, holding an umbrella is enough to give me the ick, but if that umbrella turns inside out, they are never seeing me again.
Unbelievable.
It killed me.
Bro, that's savage. That's savage. But yeah, it's very like macho to be like, nah, bro, just walk. I don't need the umbrella. I'm stronger than the rain.
To be fair, I've seen umbrellas turn inside out when girls hold them, and I'm like, huh?
Follow Brode No Plan B podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, or anywhere you get your podcasts.
We have two more matches to talk about in this MCW versus PWA Worlds Collide event. At this point, with Bonza beating Mitch Waterman, the score is 2-1 in favor of the hometown team MCW when we go into a six-man tag match. So we'd previously seen a six-man MCW versus PWA. Sorry?
2-0. Was it?
No, it was 2-1
in favor of PWA, not MCW.
Yes, you're right.
There we go. That's where I went wrong.
with Bonza getting it over Waterman. Yes. So we have the six man here. Note that this is not the six man that happened at PWA versus MCW at PWA's last event. Different set of people, except for Caveman Ugg still representing MCW, even though he was a mainstay at PWA for years, which really got under the PWA fans' skin, him representing MCW. This one was Ugg, Baxter, and of course, Mickey Broderick versus Mick Moretti, Kai Drake, and the big man, Matt Rogers. This is a set of really interesting teams. I'm on record as loving Kai Drake. I think he's super cool. I tweeted about the team of Drake, Rogers, and Moretti arguing backstage over who gets to share their one collective brain cell during the match, because these guys are a mix of loose cannons and pure mindless brawlers. I think that's a super cool team versus, you know, a little bit of silliness on the MCW side with, I love Mickey Broderick's gimmick of getting everyone to squat, including Caveman Ugg. And this is classic six-man chaos. What did you reckon?
Yeah, no, you're completely... One thing I will say I really did like is that midway through the match, the commentators pointed out that both Ugg and Broderick were original PWA guys, and they teased for just that slight second that they were both going to turn back to PWA. And you could tell the crowd started going, oh, shit. And then
Yeah,
of course, it was a swerve and the match kept going on. But I just like that little touch. I thought it was really good. It was really interesting that they would go into that with Mikey as well, because he was a PWA guy originally, but not overly well known as being one. So it was good, just that little bit of touch to it. It was, I think, because of what Bonza and Waterman was, this was this nice little like sorbet breaker in between what they knew was going to be the big main event of Brooksy and Ricky South. So that point was good. I love how at the moment they're just having Ugg hit his finisher really quickly. It's like catch, bang. There's no like hold him for a second and then drop. It's
so
just,
good.
It's just straight into it. So I that I really liked. One note though, I did
and
hear
it's that entire Thunder Driver that just makes me go, ugh, every time I see it. Because obviously, Ugg knows what he's doing, but every time I'm like, oh no, he missed, he spiked him on the head.
Yeah.
It's just sickening.
Yeah, there is one note. I did hear from Welchie that apparently Tyson Baxter might have injured his good knee in this match. So hopefully, fingers crossed, it's nothing serious. But yeah, thoughts and prayers goes out to him. I hope it's all the best. I hope it's just a stinger and he's all good to go, because that guy has got a big future ahead of him. And I really hope something like this doesn't derail him for a while.
And it definitely seems like this was a match where you've got Ugg on one side and Moretti on the other side as guys who are well and truly established. You had Broderick on one side and Matt Rogers on the other side as guys who have been doing it for a while and have
Broderick is massively in shape. Broderick is massively established. He is.
Oh yeah, he's been doing it forever.
Amazing work.
Just, you know, and obviously, like, he doesn't have the kind of street cred that guys like Moretti and Ugg do, but I think that he's been doing incredible work, you know, just about forever, because he was in, you know, when I started getting into wrestling, he was already doing all the World Series wrestling stuff, and, you know, he was already at that level of
showing off to everyone how good he is. Fitness Fanatics?
Yep.
The tag team, right. Yeah.
But yeah, like, so he's obviously established, but I think he was kind of there to match up Rogers as muscle for the team. And then you had Bax, not that Ugg isn't, but I think Ugg was there as the, you know, commander-in-chief type of role. And then you had Tyson Baxter and Kai Drake as guys with massive futures ahead of them. So I like that there's kind of that symmetry in the teams. Again, I think Kai Drake's fantastic. I want to see so much more from him. And yeah, hopefully Baxter is not out on the good knee. Hopefully that's something that is not going to hurt his near future. But yes, that puts it at 2-2 with the MCW team winning. So there is only one match left. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that in a 5-match series we'd go to 2-2 and it'd be all on the final match? Wow, out of nowhere, really. champ versus champ, Ricky South, Adam Brooks, two of the best in the country, obviously. And this match, you know, we talked about a lot of the matches seeming short. Not here. They knew that this needed time because you are not going to have either of these guys lose without it being a war.
Yeah, it went for about half an hour by my rough timing of looking at things. So I went back and watched it again just before we recorded this, just so I could get a full thing on, because I really like the match. I love both these guys. Of course, it's not exactly a huge secret that I love Brooksy, but Ricky South, unbelievable guy. So I know, right? Ricky South, unbelievable, like, worker. Because of his gimmick, people don't realize just how fucking big this dude is and how strong this guy is. It's just, and especially you could see it here against, like, Brooksy, just the size of him. He's just a huge human being. And the way he can move, and the way I love the way that I think it might have been Rosie described him as a 70s look and style of wrestling, because that's exact. I look at him and I think that's a Harley Race type body. You know what I mean? That's he'll probably pop if he hears me that I've said this, but that's what I think when I see him.
I don't remember if it was on the podcast or with a mate that I was talking to where I said, like, if Ricky South was born 40 years earlier, he would be going around the territories, taking on the champion everywhere he went. This huge imposing figure who could come in and wrestle a damn match. It just seems like he is made for, and commentary said it, you know, seeing him streamed, seeing him on TV or whatever is good, but it doesn't do justice to seeing him live. The guy is massive and the way he moves is unbelievable. When I first saw a Ricky South match, when I like watched it on a computer, I thought, oh yeah, he's pretty good. You know, it's a little I thought that he might have been a little bit stiff or slow in some of the movements compared to, you know, guys like Brooksy, who are just like made of liquid. But I was like, he's pretty smooth. And then you see him in real life and you realize that he's a behemoth. And you see him move at that speed and it's jaw-dropping.
Now, do you think that that open when he didn't have his music playing was on purpose or was it a technical difficulty?
And no, I've got to believe that Ricky South's music not playing was pure technical difficulties because of the way he came out. So the video started playing with his name on it, but no sound came over. And Ricky South, I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was something along the lines of, screw this. And he came out and he held his title high. The lights weren't even set up for him to get in the ring. They were ready for the music to hit. So I can't believe that it was, you know, MCW mind games and it was planned.
Commentary did a good job of like disguising it too.
They really put it over. So I thought that was awesome. But it shows what a pro that guy is. That he's like, no, if it's not working, I'll get heat from it. I'll go and swear about MCW's tech production. Like, let's get out. I'm the bad guy in this match. Let's do it. And it
happens sometimes. You're on shows. Sometimes you're on shows and microphones just don't work. It happens. You have to roll with the punches.
Yep. And you know that's life in live performance. Something's going to go wrong. And he's the kind of guy who knows what he's doing enough to make it look like it doesn't matter to him. He's going to go out and he's going to wrestle, and that's great. Obviously, you know, the hype around Brooksy in a MCW room against an invading champion, absolutely massive. And then the match itself, it's what more can you say about it? Ricky South and Adam Brooks, you know what I mean? So let's
they did such a good job at the start, just a slow build.
Yeah.
Just because it wasn't just a full on, we're going out there as a slow sort of a, like we're going to work our way into this. And then it was a very much a classic, like strong man Ricky against the guy just like fighting underneath like Brooksy and getting those quick hits. Every time Brooksy was in control, it was a quicker paced offense. And then with Ricky take over, it would slow back down again. And the crowd sort of like just wanting Brooksy to come back. And it was really good, really good.
And
match.
Brooksy using the environment to his advantage, throwing Ricky into the guardrail and jumping at him, you know, having the ring awareness to put his foot on the rope rather than kicking out from a big move. All of those things that make him look like a smart and agile wrestler who is going to, you know, win come hell or high water against a force that is much bigger and stronger than him. Incredible match. The finish comes when it looks like Brooks has the victory in hand, hits the Swanton, goes for the cover. Rocky Monero, who has just lost his Intercommonwealth title and is not happy about it, comes and drags the ref out of the ring. He is not happy. He does not like it here in MCW, and he is going to make MCW suffer because of his loss. And with that, the soul of PWA champion Mick Moretti comes out, gives Brooksy the old bang with the belt, and South hits the big pile driver. New ref comes out, 1, 2, 3. Ricky South wins. PWA gets 3 of the 5 victories, making them the winners. And the whole PWA roster storms into the ring to lift South up. You were saying it before, this feels like part one.
Mm-hmm.
This ending feels like we want to see MCW get their revenge. And when you're putting on matches like South and Brooksy, I'm happy for them to do as many as they like.
And two as well, because I don't think I've seen this ref too often, the bald ref. I don't know what his name was, but his hesitation in counting that 3 at the finish, that was so very well done. It was so, because like he knew what had happened, but he couldn't do anything about it. And he had to count the 3. And the way that Ricky was just yelling at him to count the 3, the hesitation in counting the 3, that helped tell the story. People don't realize exactly how much referees can help tell a story. And that was so very well done. So kudos to that guy. I'm sorry I don't know what his name is, but a really good effort from him coming out there and just counting that three the way he did. Because he could have easily just slid in and went 1, 2, 3, and the crowd wouldn't have really shit on it that he did it. But just doing it the way he did added that extra little layer to it.
Yeah, because it's that, from his perspective, he is letting the invaders, not his company, win by cheating, and he knows that, but he's got a job to do. Yeah, I thought it was great. Overall, really good show. We had a comment from Frankie Smoes over on Facebook who said the show length was a huge positive. Townsend is a very good promo and Cracker Jack's an amazing promo. All the matches were good for the first time a lot of people had ever touched. Very much agree. The main event was pulled off perfectly. The ballroom blitz was a bit sloppy. Think that one-on-ones will work better. The main event felt like they could have gone another 10 to 15 easy, which is great. And Waterman and Bonza meshed very well. Excellent kickoff for 2022. So a big thank you to Frankie for coming over to the Facebook page and letting us know what you thought about the show. Anyone who wants to do that on Twitter.
Oh, I've also got another one. Sorry. I've got one more comment that was on our Twitter from an Andrew Rose saying, I thought the commentators were really great.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That, you know. Interesting name, that Andrew Rose. I wonder if someone recognizes that from anywhere.
I don't know where you'd hear it from, but you know.
There you go.
I just wanted, like, because I took some, I did some upsides and some downsides from the show. So I just want to quickly run through it. Like, upsides felt like a very, like, pretty much like Frankie said, felt like a very quick show. No match really outstayed their welcome. In fact, some seemed way too short for me, like the tag match. And also the Intercommonwealth, but obviously there was a reason why that Intercommonwealth was like that to set that tone. The show actually ended with a really good finish with plenty of openings, like I said, for a return show, and really helped Rocky get his heat back to go into this January, like, Survivor Series type show. Yeah, for me, the downsides, though, I think because of the time of day it was, the crowd weren't that.
It didn't have that big night energy.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's solely and wholly due to the fact that it started at 2 o'clock Melbourne time. So it was like, maybe it took them a little while to warm up or something, or maybe it wasn't mic'd as good for me or something like that. But that was the only thing there. Commentary, PWA guys were great as always. Can't say I was overly a fan of the MCW guy. Simon, I know Lord Andy has left, like, MCW, but Beej, who's been there for years as the other commentator, I think probably would have been better in that slot because he just has that knowledge of calling the last X amount of years of shows where he can
mentally roll a deck. I don't think it's a bad idea to give a newer commentator experience with that incredible PWA team.
I'm just saying, because there were times where, like, because of the way the commentators are, I could actually see him reading off notes during it. So for me, and I know, like, if Beej was watching it, he'd just go, oh, this happened, blah, blah, blah. He could just pull that out for me. So, but yeah, that too. And again, the only really bad thing about this show was the fact that I couldn't hear the promos, the taped promos and some of the in-ring ones. That was the only real downside to it. Another note that just come to me now, how much did it feel to you? It just felt really weird to me that the bulk of the commentators were from PWA and the ring announcer was from PWA, but it was in a MCW ring, an MCW setting.
I feel like if they didn't do that, it would have felt weird because of how biased it would be. If you had MCW crowd, MCW ref, MCW building, MCW ring announcer, MCW commentators, like, it would just feel like it's an MCW, like, show with PWA guys.
But yeah, but that's what they are, because technically they were hosting PWA.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But if you want to make it feel like a Worlds Collide show, I think you need some PWA auxiliary stuff there.
Oh, totally. But I just think I felt like they sort of outnumbered. It was almost like they'd already invaded. They were already owning the area when it was coming. That, and maybe you could have split the two and had like an Edward, and also Edwin, and also had like a Nick, Ref Nick, doing the matches sort of really like cool. That might have been something. Yeah, that was the only thing. Like when I looked at it, I'm like, oh, JT's is a ring announcer, and you've got both the MCW, both the PWA, both the commentators. PWA commentators. It was like, and like nothing against, because those two, in my opinion, are probably two of the best commentators in the country at the moment when it comes to commentating live wrestling. They are really good. They've, over the last couple of years, they've formed such a good partnership and such a good, like, bouncing off each other, that it really is, it's good to listen to those guys. You don't get sick of what they're doing when you're listening to shows. And I know I do that. I get sick of listening to the guys on AEW and the guys in WWE all the time. There are only a few that I can actually stand.
There's this Todd guy that I can't stand listening to, let me tell you.
Well, I don't commentate, but I try not to anyway. But you know what I mean? It's sort of like I can listen to those guys and not want to put some 100%. Music on and just watch the wrestling. I want them to tell me what's going on. So that's a big ups for those guys. I will say, like, the commenter Rosie was right. The commentary was really good.
Yeah. Hate to give credit to Rose upping himself like that, but yeah, the commentary. That is
To be fair, I did message him and tell him they did a good call. It was a really good call for him. So, like, I won't lie about that.
No, that's it. So, with that is Worlds Collide in the books. Now, if you haven't already, subscribe to Wrestling Radio Australia. It's free. You can do it on YouTube, on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on Stitcher, anywhere you get podcasts. Wrestling Radio Australia is there. If you do go to Apple Podcasts, please give us a rating and review. It really does help. It means a lot. Throw down those 5 stars. Get us in more ears. Get us around this wide world of Australian wrestling. The socials, at WrestleRadioAU for Twitter and Instagram. WrestleRadio Australia on Facebook. Let us know what you love hearing from us. Let us know what you're loving seeing in Australian wrestling at the moment. And let us know if there's anything we should be talking about that we're not. On top of that, you can follow Todd on Twitter at Beast Eastman. You can follow me on Twitter at Lachlan Albert. And if you are online and you want to head over to Redbubble, you can search for Wrestle Radio Australia. And you'll find some cool merch with all of the proceeds from that. Not going into our pockets, but going to two amazing charities, Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life. They do amazing work in the world of men's mental health, specifically around Australia. So that is a way that you can support the show by wearing the merch, but also giving back to a good cause. Is there anything else we need to touch on before we head off for this one, Todd?
If you haven't seen this show, go on to Fight. Get the show, watch it yourself. $15. You can't, like, it's a great value for money. It was such a good show, and just, yeah, I loved watching it just to review it. I would have paid to watch it anyway. So yeah.
And on top of that, that money's not going to a big American company. It's going to, you know, support Australian wrestling.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what we're here for.
Completely correct, sir.
So with that, let's throw in that catchphrase of go out and watch some Aussie wrestling. It is wrestling in person is, and I know Todd was saying this on the podcast recently, there is nothing like watching wrestling in person. You know, it's great to go and, you know, watch the WWE or the AEW or all of those things we talk about on Making Chicken Salad, but there is nothing like going to a show, sitting in that chair and watching them do it in front of you. So wherever you are, you can get out and support local wrestling and you will love it and they will love you back in return for supporting them.
Later on in the week as well, there's also another Chicken Salad coming out where we talk about winners coming and WWE and all of that stuff. So yeah,
we still do that regular podcast. We just want to make sure that we're also given the proper props to these Aussie shows as well. So with that, on behalf of Todd Eastman, I've been Lachlan Albert. Until next time, have a good one.